So what we're going to talk about today, as Ronnie said, is the operating agreement. It was originally set up as a point counterpoint with Jeff Weems and I. But he's unable to attend, and I'm going to attend to defend his side. It will be difficult because I know I'm always right, but I'll do the best I can. So the topics that we're going to talk about today are the operating agreement, the 2015 and 1989 forms, and then the 2015 versus the 1989 forms. And those three topics are just sort of background to give you some understanding of the operating agreement. And then we're going to talk about some specific provisions that negotiators would need to worry about. Those are ones that Jeff and I thought were particularly significant. One is provisions affecting the relationship of the parties, then payment of royalty and subsequently created interests, the exculpatory clause or the exculpatory sentence, operator removal and replacement, remedies for default, and the single expenditure limit. So a few initial observations about the operating agreement. Next to the oil and gas lease, the operating agreement, I would say, is the most commonly used form in the industry. And it has in common with the oil and gas lease that it can be in effect for many, many decades. And what one thing they don't teach you about in law school is contracts that can be in effect that long, that can be in effect through massive changes in the law, circumstances, and everything else. And it is something, you know, you just learn to deal with. But as I say, law school, maybe oil and gas courses a little bit, but generally they don't prepare you for that type of contract. So when is the operating agreement used? Well, it is used anytime more than one party owns an interest in oil and gas leases or minerals in an area and they wanted to join together to develop that area. It can be used standalone, or in some cases, it is attached to a farm-out agreement, an exploration agreement, something like that. The most common form of operating agreement is the American Association of Petroleum Landmen Form 610, and there are various versions of it. There are versions from 1956, 1977, 1982. 1989 and 2015. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that history shortly. There are other forms of operating agreement that have fairly wide usage for specific purposes. Two of those are the AAPL Offshore Operating Agreement Form 710 and 810. And as the name implies, they are specifically drafted for offshore agreements. Then there is the Rocky Mountain Unit Operating Agreement Form 2 Divided Interest. That is used for federal exploratory units, which are a very particular type of unit that contains substantial federal acreage. And there are very specific types of terms with regard to the unit agreement, and the operating agreement has to be drafted accordingly. And then finally, there's the American Petroleum Institute Fieldwide Unit Form, and that's used for fieldwide units. Usually those are formed in order to conduct secondary or tertiary obligations. And one specific aspect of that is not common to most forms is that there is no such thing as a non-consent procedure. Every decision is voted on and you're either voted in or voted out. So those are the other types of agreements. Those are the most common types of agreements other than the AAPL form. Now, there are with regard to the 2015 and the 1989 form, after the 1989 form was adopted, it did take some time for its use to become common, and I experienced that. A lot of us sort of hung on to the 82 form because we'd prepared our own versions of it. Frankly, there was a little suspicion about some aspects of the 1989 form. But I would say today, it probably became the form that is prevalent, you know, is most prevalent. Because there was declining industry activity, no effort was made to modify the 1989 form for a substantial period of time. although companies did adopt standard modifications, they added provisions that they attempted to have included when they negotiated the form. Basically, each company had its own favorite version of the form. Now, in 2013, a version of the form of the 1980 form was published that included modifications to cover horizontal drilling. Of course, horizontal drilling has been one of the major developments in the oil and gas industry recently, and there are aspects of it which were not adequately covered by the existing agreements, which existing operating agreements, which contemplated vertical wells. So some additions were made, as I say, in 2013, still the 1989 form, but it was modified to cover horizontal drilling. Then in 2015, an entirely new form was released, and it addressed questions raised by various court cases, otherwise streamlined the form. Now, before I go on, one thing I want to note that's very important, you know, I've talked about these different forms in different years and what's prevalent now, but what you have to bear in mind is, as I've already said, an operating agreement can be in effect for decades. So you can very easily wind up dealing today with even a 1956 form. It's not necessarily going to be the most recent version. And in some cases, you just frankly have to do the best you can. It is, as I say, like oil and gas leases. They can be in effect for a long period of time, and you simply have to deal with the changes in the environment and so forth.